Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
I need a credit card that's got no limit.
So that sound can only mean one thing. In studio with us right now, Congressman Rodney Davis, you've made a name for yourself in a very unconventional way.
It is about time you got some good bumper music here.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
Nickelback.
It is about time.
Tony, do you want to talk to him about Nickelback before we get to the lesser important things?
I'll talk to him about anything else.
You can take him outside and talk to him about it.
I like everything about the congressman except his love for Nickelback.
So tell me, Congressman, since you came out on the House floor and defended Nickelback and oppressed Nickelback fans everywhere, is this something that is a recurring thing for you now?
I didn't think it was going to be this big when I did it.
It's great, though.
Yeah, you know, if you got to take a step back, look at what was happening at the time. I was leading the opposition to a 700-page bill that was just a disaster. Put your tax dollars and corporate money into congressional campaign coffers, something that's just terrible. But it was the Democrats' idea. One of the amendments was my buddy Mark Pocan, a Democrat out of Wisconsin. Mark offered this amendment on the census and how do we count them for redistricting purposes if they're in prison. And then he had the audacity to criticize Nickelback. And I said,
so you're saying he started it?
You darn right he started it. He'll admit it. And I stood up, you know, we're joking around and I stood up, defended Nickelback and he and I had a great, debate on the floor. And the thing about it is I hope it showed a lot of people that we actually do get along.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long day. I did it. I didn't think it'd be this big, but it was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's great. As soon as that happened, I told Katie, I'm like, the next time we talk to Rodney Davis, there has to be Nickelback. And then we forgot about that, so I had to go whisper something.
No, I thought like, they were like, what are you guys whispering about earlier?
It was about Nickelback, because it's the only safe way to talk about Nickelback.
Hey, you know, if you want a hilltop mansion and 15 cars.
We all just want to be rock stars. So we've been talking a lot about this today, and I wanted to get your thoughts and opinions on it, being someone who is on the Hill and sees the inside a lot more than any of us do, for sure. But President Trump, we've found out a little bit more about John McCain's involvement in the dossier. We know that there's a lot of tension that existed between John McCain and Donald Trump before John McCain passed, and that has not subsided at all. President Trump is bringing John McCain's name up. And the question I've asked our listeners, and they can vote on the poll on Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, is, does the president need to stop talking about John McCain? I'll ask you the same thing.
The president needs to stop talking about John McCain in the sense that he's been talking about John McCain. What he ought to talk about is the dossier. What he ought to talk about is how that dossier has been disproven, even as recently as Michael Cohen coming in front of the House Judiciary Committee, our Oversight Committee, and admitting he's never been to Prague, which was one of the basic tenets of that whole disproven dossier. And when he criticizes John McCain, it takes away from the facts at hand that I think the president needs to help us get out there. Maybe the president needs to listen to a little more Nickelback. He'll calm down a little bit. And instead of being so personal with McCain, we might be able to talk about some of the really good things that are happening in our country, historic economic growth, 4% unemployment. Otherwise, it gets overshadowed by this debate with somebody who's passed away. But it's no different than, you know, the Democrats were real proud of their bill that they passed the other day. H.R. 1 that I was arguing against. And one of them, the Democrats, told me that their messaging was all screwed up because we had a debate about Nickelback.
It got clouded.
Distractions.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about, you know, you said he could focus on the good things. Mm-hmm. I have personally, I have an arc on my support for this president. Maybe the last guy out of the primary that I would have chosen for myself. I really liked Marco Rubio. Still like Marco Rubio.
Yeah, I endorsed him.
But yeah, and when you see what the president has been able to do, not what he promised or said he was going to do as candidate, but seeing what he's been able to do as president, I'm very impressed with the success that this administration has been able to accomplish, having the majority in both houses before 2018. What are those things that you wish the president would focus on talking about?
Well, you are dead on. You know, look, I wasn't a fan of the president's early in the primary. I was a Marco Rubio supporter, endorsed Marco. But I agree with you. This president, since I've had a chance to meet him and had a chance to work with him and his administration, we've seen very good things happen in this country. We've seen us reinvest in rebuilding our military. We've seen our economic standards in this country and our economy grow at levels that were even laughed at by liberal economic gurus before we passed the tax bill not too long ago. We see historic low sustained unemployment at 4% or below. These are the things the president needs to talk about. And unfortunately, when he gets sidetracked, the message gets sidetracked, the American people will lose sight of many of the positive things that are happening right around us. I'm with you on the president. My support for him is on an arc. I've got a chance to meet him. He's a very funny guy in person. He's got a great sense of humor. He's easy to talk to, and his administration's easy to talk to, which unfortunately is not the perception. But the perception of the Obama administration was they were open to anyone, come on by, and that is the furthest thing from the truth from my point of view.
Yeah, that is an interesting perspective on the issue. You know, we both said that we supported Marco Rubio initially, and Marco Rubio, along with Senator Roy Blunt, voting against the president's national emergency. Some people are suggesting, Chuck Schumer himself suggested that maybe some Republicans are starting to come around to this president and stand on the right side of history or whatever. My question to you, the Republican Party, especially in the House of Representatives, being the minority right now under the president and with the majority in the Senate, how do you feel about the representation of the Republican Party in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I really like it when Chuck Schumer tries to lecture Republicans on standing for the right time in history. Does that mean that he, because he stood against our tax cuts, that he was against historic economic growth and he was against historic low unemployment? I mean, it's just, that's why Chuck Schumer's always... you know, always going to be the way he is. Look, in the House, I voted differently than Senator Rubio and others. I believe there is a national emergency at the border, although I will admit there was part of me that thought about voting the other way because I don't like executive actions. I want Congress to work. I want our branches of government, equal powers to work. But I got a text from my colleague Adam Kinzinger, who was flying a mission for the Wisconsin National Guard during the time we were voting. And Adam said, if I was there, I would vote for it because here's what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me be completely in favor of making sure that this was declared a national emergency.
I saw Representative Kinzinger's reaction to this, and we were fortunate to have him on the show and listen to him explain what he was seeing and how it's a serious problem. It needs to be addressed. Senator Sass was just saying recently that while he wishes that the president wouldn't do that, that's different than whether or not the president has the right to do it. And I kind of appreciated that because it was the understanding that if the executive authority is there for him to do it and you don't like that, then it's up to the lawmakers to make the change, not to try to restrain the president from doing something that he's constitutionally authorized to do.
Right. And we had plenty of bipartisan compromises in the past year that Democrats could have worked with us on that would have provided the border security that I think we need, but also would have provided the changes to our immigration system that many Democrats have asked for years.
Congressman, don't have time to break each one of these topics down.
Do you want me to break them down into a Nickelback song?
Yeah, please do. Please do. But how short-sighted, if you believe that they are truly being short-sighted, which I do, are the Democrats being when they are talking about things right now like eliminating the Electoral College, adding judges to the Supreme Court, putting term limits on the Supreme Court, lowering the voting age to 16, all of these things that they've been throwing out there recently. I find it short-sighted. What do you think?
Well, it's all politics. Democrats always amaze me. When they lose elections, it isn't because they take a step back and wonder if they need to put better candidates up. What happens is they want to change the rules. That was the reason why, you know, I was so adamantly opposed to H.R. 1, this huge 700-page takeover of our election process by the Democrats that was sold to the American people under the guise of getting money out of politics, but instead ingesting billions of taxpayer dollars into congressional campaigns. Nobody, and I mean nobody, listening to your show, nobody I've ever represented has come to me and said, hey, you know what? I want my tax dollars to go to your campaign so we can spend more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Democrats' solution.
Mm.
And that's how they view the world compared to us, which is why I think that, which is why I think we continue to win elections.
Congressman, you serve in the United States House of Representatives, but you're my representative in District 13 in Illinois. I have to ask you a little bit about the state of Illinois. I mean, if anybody wants to see a petri dish of massive, almost unfettered Democratic control and policy, they just need to look towards Illinois to see it. HB 2495, I've been talking a lot about, which is the most progressive abortion access bill that we would have in the country. Repealing parental notification, a progressive income tax, which will be an income tax raise for everybody. It goes on and on and on and on. I was watching State Representative Alan Skillicorn say he came out of committee yesterday. They want to tax rain. It's a little more nuanced than that, but for the most part, it's a rain tax. You're representing people in Illinois, and people tell me all the time, why do I stay? Why do you stay?
Well, because it's a great state, and the potential is there. Illinois is a great state, great communities. I love the district I serve and my hometown. It's frustrating.
Can it get better?
Oh, it has to.
I mean, it can't get much worse. Sorry, folks.
You got to think about things. I mean, look, this is what you have when you have unfettered Democratic control. Governor Rauner made a mistake when he allowed for taxpayer funding to pay for abortions in our Medicaid system.
Yes.
He put himself in political peril and was not able to win re-election, mainly because of that and other issues that his administration faced. The problem we have is Democrats have super majorities, but now it's their fault. Everything, they own everything. They don't need a Republican to agree with them on any piece of legislation that goes in front of them. And they're going to pay the political price when they continue to put crazy ideas forward, mm-hmm. like making the New York abortion law seem conservative.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me nauseous as somebody who's pro-life to see the debate on how to ensure that we reduce the number of abortions in this country versus unfettered access to what I consider infanticide in many cases.
Mm. So HB 2495 is no restrictions on abortion. They want to require insurance companies to pay for these abortions. They want to remove the partial birth abortion ban. You are a representative, but you have a representative in Springfield as somebody who lives in the state of Illinois. And I'm not sure what district you fall in, but you represent me and my state representative is a Democrat. So these Southern Illinois residents who you represent, who are potentially represented by a Democrat in Springfield, if you could send a message to those Democratic representatives in Springfield on something like HB 2495, what kind of advice would you give them?
I would talk about how this is a very personal issue. I don't know when access to abortion became the debate about women's health, because I've got a lot of community health centers that federal funds go into that provide great services to those who need access to women's health care and prenatal health care, et cetera. We've got to change the debate. And those who believe like you and I do, Annie, they've got to reach out. Whether your state representative and state senator is a Republican or a Democrat, call them. And if they're a Republican, they're on your side. They need to know you're with them.
Do those contacts matter?
Absolutely, they matter. My state rep, where I live in Taylorville, was the youngest state representative in the history.
And she's pregnant.
And she's pregnant now.
Yep, Avery Bourne.
And when I met Avery as an intern for my previous boss, John Shimkus, and then she worked for me. On my campaign, you know, she was a 21-year-old college student working with me, and proudly on the back of her Ford Escape was, I vote pro-life.
Amen.
We're just about out of time, but I wanted to ask you, actually, both of you a question. Mm-hmm. Being a Missouri resident who covers a lot of news that happens in Illinois, and we talk about it a lot here on Annie's Show, Congressman. You just said that eventually the Democrats are going to pay the price if they continue to run to the left. When? Where's that line? How much further do they have to go before you think that the people of Illinois, particularly obviously Northern Illinois and the Chicago area, say, enough's enough. This is silly. We got to get back to some common sense.
Well, if there's a focus on continuing to raise taxes without reducing spending in Illinois, the Democrats will pay the price in the high-cost suburban areas. The property tax rate, the overall tax rate, the cost of living is going to continue to rise, and they'll pay a price if folks feel they can't afford to pay that tax rate, if they don't feel like they're getting a benefit out of paying more. In downstate Illinois, I think if they continue to go left on issues like the Second Amendment, on issues like life, and the economy, that's what's going to have an impact on voters. If there are no jobs available in areas for teenagers to be able to work because the minimum wage has been raised so much that companies that would have given skills to our next generation of workers are going to be forced to automate, you know, that's going to be a problem for Democrats in the future, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Congressman Davis, for giving us some time today. Representative of District 13, my district. It's always great to be able to speak to your representative, and especially in this way. It's fantastic.
And it's great to see you like Nickelback.
I don't have a problem with them. I don't understand all of the invested time and effort into hating them so much.
I don't either.
It's kind of funny to play it and watch them all come out of the woodwork. So here we go.
Keep playing them.
Congressman Rodney Davis, thanks so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.